Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration, and I'm glad to be here. Haven't been here for a couple months. Took a two-month break. I was only going to take about a month off anyway. Ended up taking two months off, but I'm glad to be back. And hopefully you're all well, and everything's going good in your life. And it's Monday morning, November 20th, 2017, 7:30 here in the morning, Calgary, Alberta. And we're just going to continue on, just pick up where we left off. You can listen to that last show if you want to, just the last episode there. We're just looking at anxiety, dealing with child abuse issues and whatnot. So that's where we're going to pick up this morning. And it's really just a morning reflection that I like to do. And just looking at information I find helpful, sort of keep me on my healing journey. I haven't been doing anything much toward my healing journey in the last couple of months. Just took it easy. I was extremely exhausted from the summer and the heat and just being very busy. And this last couple of months, I tried to take a break. I ended up taking a few weeks to sort of relax. And the rest of it's been really busy, trying to catch up on stuff that I didn't get done all through the summer. So it sort of threw me off just a little bit of a curveball. So I haven't been able to focus on anything to do with my healing journey, mainly just focusing on taking care of stuff that needs to be done, which was causing me a lot of stress and anxiety. I'm still not done. I still have a lot of work to do to catch up where I've sort of put stuff off for the summer. And so that's what me and my husband are doing sort of this next month or so before the new year, is to finish doing a whole bunch of things that we've been putting off and getting some stuff done. And we were still trying to move. We never did move. We're still working on trying to find a place. So everything's kind of still up in the air. It's really been a crazy year. But you know, it's all good. I did take the 2 months off and actually did get some rest. I did get some downtime, quiet time, rest times, also some study time because I'm working on my bachelor degree. And I just have about another, 6 months to a year to go in that, just finish that off. So it was a lot of little things going on that sort of became a little bit overwhelming. So I just decided to take a couple months off from the show and from any of my stuff that I do with my video work for my Bible studies and stuff like that. So I feel a little bit better. I'd say not 100% better, but I definitely feel a little bit better. And not so just running. I was able to it was kind of like a 2 months catch my breath type of thing. So I was able to kind of sit back and catch my breath a little bit, get a few things done and organize myself a little bit better. So hopefully you're doing well, and we'll pick up where we left off, looking at HAVOCA. That's Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. And this is their the section called Anxiety that we'll pick up with this morning. So this is a morning reflection. You know, this is about my healing journey. You know, you have to make sure you're safe enough to be listening. I always say this on every show, just because you never know when someone's going to be tuning in and haven't listened to the other shows. Do a safety checklist. You know, make sure you're safe enough to be listening to something like this if you're going to be listening to my shows. Ultimately, you have to make the right decision for yourself. If you're a survivor just starting out on your healing journey, you know, you got to know where you are in your healing journey to know whether or not you're going to be triggered by any information like this, you know, my show or anybody else's show that's like dealing with the issues and topics of child abuse and abuse issues of any kind. So you need to make sure you're safe enough so that you don't hurt yourself and hurt somebody else. And if you're not, you need to get that information. If you don't know if you are or not, there's quite a few sites out there, but ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, has one, Survivor to Thriver Manual. You can get it for free on their website. And then there's the HAVOCA. They have a site, a section there on their site too. That's Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA, HAVOCA.org. And you can go to their website and get safety information there too. So just make sure you're safe enough. Everybody else, listen at your own discretion. So this morning, how am I doing? I could just ask myself, you know, sort of morning reflection. Any particular things I need to work on? How am I feeling? I'm actually feeling really good. I'm glad to be back doing the show. I really was going to start a couple weeks ago and then put it off again. And so sort of kept moving the dates. I'm like, well, another week ahead. I thought, no, today's a good day to start back. Oh, 2 months off. And I like doing these shows. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing them. And I find them helpful to keep me on my healing journey. And so I'm glad to be getting back into it. This is kind of a sign for me that I'm getting things done that I need to get done, and I'm not so overwhelmed that I can actually do the show, so it's kind of nice. Otherwise, I haven't had any real issues with dealing with my issues with being a survivor of child abuse. I haven't had very, very many flashbacks or anything. I've had some weird dreams and stuff like that. but no real problems dealing with anything, no real flashback issues or anxiety issues or anger issues, because I've been actually making it a point just to relax and focus on what I need to focus on to get things done. So that's probably why. So I haven't had a lot of time to sit around and think about anything, to think about the issues that I'm facing or that I have faced in the past. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty good actually right now. I'm still a little tired. I don't think there's going to be actually any remedy for that. And, you know, I'm just really busy and I have a lot to do. But as long as I maintain and sort of keep things in, some sort of order of priority, you know, do what needs to be done now. The rest, you know, can take care of it. I could take care of later sort of thing. Just prioritize. I'm actually able to maintain and get things done. So, you know, I think it's a matter of actually looking at what needs to be done and prioritizing. That we were just, you know, we're dealing with stuff that we really only have to deal with now. Because I am so busy. It's just unbelievable how busy I am. So, and my day starts like, you know, early and it's done and gone by the time 9, 10 o'clock rolls around at night. You know, and I've only got so much opportunity because I work full time to get things done that need to be done for my husband and for, you know, for both of us. So it's a lot of work. And things are going pretty good. That's how I could say this morning. I woke up feeling pretty good this morning. And so we'll look at this anxiety information and we'll pick up where we left off. You could listen, I don't want to repeat the whole thing from the last show. So we'll just pick up where we left off. And they were talking about the fact that, I mean, anxiety can be a real problem for people, like not only just emotionally or psychologically, but physically can be hard on your body. So we were looking at that. And they said here, you can lose so much for years. This person writing this said, I cut myself off from friends and neighbors. I didn't go out. If it wasn't that my husband stood by me through it all, I don't know what would have happened. So over time, if we continue to be anxious, our body's resistance to infection can become weakened and we're more likely to experience ill health. It can become a vicious circle. So we worry about what is happening to us and become more anxious and depressed. And they said here, it would have been easier if I'd had my leg in a plaster cast, and then people would have known I wasn't all right, but they couldn't understand what was wrong with me. But although we may feel we are trapped, something can be done to help. The most difficult step can be to accept there is a problem and to seek help with it. So this person, whoever wrote this, said, I wish somebody had sat down with me years ago and told me, you don't have to be like this. I didn't know any other people had been through it too. And so that's the last part of that little piece that we didn't finish off there from 2 months ago. You know, the anxiety, I mean, if you had a cast on, people would know you have a problem. But anxiety, it's an invisible situation. Usually, you know, most people wouldn't know somebody's struggling with anxiety issues. And, you know, over time, it can take its toll on a person's body. Absolutely, it can. On your health, on your mental health, your physical health, just our whole being. I know I've actually worked on a lot of, I guess I've gotten my anxiety pretty well under control, but I'm a lot older now than I used to be. And I'd say, you know, I used to have a lot of anxiety problems, especially when I was really young, just from the abuse and just growing up in the domestic violence and my parents fighting all the time and stuff happening with my brothers and horrible, horrible things, you know, drug overdoses and ending, you know, just terrible things going on. It's, you know, then I turned to drugs, actually, you know. Because that's the only way I could cope. I always said I would never do drugs, you know, because of the situation, looking at my brothers and their lives and how messed up they were. Not all of my brothers were drug users, but most of them were. I had four brothers and three of them were drug users. The other one used to just drink, but alcohol, but he was killed when he was 19, so he didn't have much of a chance to continue on. But I just sort of followed suit, you know, and I think that's kind of really, I mean, it put a mask on everything. You know, I could mask my anxiety issues because I could be high. You know, so I did a lot of drugs, and when I was a young teen, mid-teens, late teens, into my 20s, and then I got off of the drugs. And then I just had tried to focus on life, doing life. How do I do this? You know, I had no good examples before me, so I was like, well, I got to concentrate on getting myself, you know, so I don't end up on the street, you know, setting myself up in a somewhat decent situation. So it was really tough. And now on this side of it, it's tough. You know, life is hard. And it's like people would say, well, doesn't it just get any easier? Well, it does, you know, if things just kind of go well for you. But if things don't go well for you, you could stay in the struggle. And that's kind of how my life has been. Because even with my husband and I, things were going pretty good for about the first 5 years of our relationship, where we were just considering ourselves boyfriend-girlfriend type thing. And no commitment, because I didn't trust marriage, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And but he got really sick, and we didn't know what was wrong with him, and it turned out he was diagnosed terminally ill, like February of 2001. So he's still here, 16 years later, by the grace of God, you know. But it's been a real battle for him to try to stay alive. It's been a real battle for me to try to stay sane in this situation, and to try to remain faithful and have hope and keep hope in my heart, keep hope in my life, and keep a positive outlook, and, you know, not let this break us, because we were determined, the two of us, that we were not going to let this get us, ruin our relationship and ruin the rest of our life, right? 16 years later, we're still together, and yeah, we live paycheck to paycheck, and, you know, he's very sick, and we're just doing what we can to stay afloat. But I'm used to that. Like I said, I'm used to the struggle, you know. I'm used to not knowing what's going to happen. You know, it's like, are we going to end up on the street or what? You know, I'm used to, I guess what you want to say, adversity. Growing up abused, there was no time in my youth or childhood where I wasn't affected by my parents' abuse towards each other and abuse towards us as the children, where I could actually relaxed and could say, oh, life is good and it's going to be okay and it's going to be all right. It's like, no, it wasn't good and it wasn't okay. It never was okay, and it didn't just get okay at any point. My life has been incredibly hard, and I think for a lot of people that's just the way it is. And that's why I do these shows, because I'm not coming from a privileged background where, you know, somebody handed me a house and the keys to a car, and even though there was abuse in the home, you know, there was money, so I didn't have to worry about that. I've just been kind of poverty stricken my whole life, just, and, you know, basically as an adult, I take responsibility for that. But in my youth, growing up poor, you know, it hasn't changed much. So I've got a lot of pressures, you know, pressures for this and pressures for that. But I'm used to dealing with adversity, and I think that gives me the edge. That actually gives me the edge. That's my strength, is to be able to say, well, I can deal with all of this stuff because I've dealt with a lot worse, you know, coming from an abuse survivor, and seeing some really horrific stuff and being put through some really horrific stuff. You know, this is nothing. It's just more trouble. But it's nothing compared to what I went through as a child. And so I'd say my anxiety levels have actually gone down, even though things are stressful and they can be quite stressful. I look back at what I survived from my childhood, being abused by my parents and a sibling. And, you know, this is nothing compared to what they put me through. So, you know, I'm not being, you know, like I said, I've got a good life now. On my last show, I was talking about that, you know. I'm not being abused now. You know, it's up to the choices that I make now, you know, to whether or not I'm going to need to sit in a pool of anxiety and problems, or if I get myself organized, you know, and like I said, just work on things that need to be done now, sort of, you know, prioritizing what has to be done, leaving the other stuff that doesn't really have to be done for another time so they don't feel overwhelmed. I've been able to manage and make it. So I think, you know, and also recognizing when we need a break. It's very important. That's why I took those 2 months off, because I realized that I was just getting to the point where things were falling apart around me. I was really getting a little bit overtired, couldn't juggle all the balls anymore, and I thought, you know, I'm going to have to take a break at some point here. Because I don't get any vacation time, because I got to keep that money coming in. Because I just work paycheck to paycheck, and we get paid on our paycheck for the vacation. So I don't get to take any vacation time unless I want to lose a week's pay or a couple weeks' pay, because I've already been paid for it. So it's like, you know, it's tricky. It's like, well, you know, I don't want to wear down that far, you know. So I took a two-month break to recuperate, and get some things done that needed to be done. I didn't quite get them all done, which is unbelievable. You think in 2 months you could do it, but I work full time. And there's only 4 weekends in a month, so that's my days off on the weekends. So there's only 4 weekends on the month, so 8 weekends total. I still didn't get everything done that I needed to get done, but at least I got some things done. So it wasn't a complete write off. But and I also got some rest, so that's very important. So we have to know, I guess in order to help ourselves with this anxiety stuff, we have to become our own best advocate and look in at what's causing this anxiety, And if it's not something like a chemical imbalance in our brain or something from something like that, that, medication can help, or therapy or some sort of, treatment plan, by a therapist or by a counselor or somebody who can help us. If it's just something where, it's manageable anxiety, like for instance, my stuff is pretty manageable, then I can get a grip, and sit down and write down, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll write down all the things that I need to do, and then I'll circle the ones that are the priority and put the other stuff away. Because, then it's like, okay, that's not so bad. I only have to get those 4 things done, not the 20 that are on the list. Sometimes things can really be overwhelming. And this is all important stuff. It's not like, oh, I got to go to the store or I got to do laundry. This is all stuff like government paperwork and stuff for my husband that has to be done. And it's just, this and that. There's so many things to do with his health issues that we have to get done all the time. It's very important stuff. Can't put it off. And I got to keep track of all of his doctor's appointments and all of that. So his doctor's appointments and everything all take precedence, and getting his pills and making sure he's got all his medications and all of that. That's a big job, and it's got to be done. It's something we have to work on all the time. So it's, certain things are priorities, other things aren't, And I sort of, you take a look and say, okay, well, this is priority, but this isn't. This can just wait, It doesn't have to get done. Just working slowly, trying to make life a little bit better for ourselves. And it doesn't happen overnight, just like these issues, that we're working on. It takes time. Because first of all, we got to actually find out what is the issue, And then how can I help myself in it, It's very important. The next part of this article is understanding anxiety. And we'll pick that portion up on Friday. So we'll take a look at that Friday. Next up, what I want to look at here, positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives and progress instead of just negative thoughts, That's too easy to get down on ourselves. That's why I like to look at positive reinforcement. What am I doing right in my daily walk? It's too easy to be down on ourselves. Well, I'm not getting this done, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm not capable, or I'm the, all the stuff that kind of backs up and supports the abuse that we suffered as children. That's just wrong. Or the abuse that we suffered in any situation. It's just wrong. We need to, look at what's going right in our life as well. And then, we can look at some of the negatives too, just in case it's stuff that we're doing, that's causing problems in our life. But I think we need to look at some positives too. I think positively, what am I doing right in my daily walk? Well, the fact that I'm actually trying to take care of myself is a big plus, because, I needed a break and I did take those 2 months off. I've got to get my physical health back in shape, and I just still haven't really done a whole lot about it, but at least I did get some rest, which was really important. And I've been eating healthy, but maybe a little too healthy, because I've been eating just way too much and put on some weight. So I'm going to have to, there's lots of things that I need to work. It's not just emotional stuff or just stuff that has to get done in my daily life. Just even for my physical health, I'm going to have to start looking after it, because I sit and work. My job is a sit-down job. And I can't get up and move around that much. So I need to find some sort of exercise program that's going to work for me. So I've started looking into it, like I was looking at yoga before. And yoga, stretching and stuff's very important, but I also need exercise. So there's lots of things that I'm still need to get, in place so that I can feel better. But at least I'm working on it. I'd say that's a positive, that I'm actually still working on it and haven't completely given up on it. So I think that's one positive. Just stay with it. It's going to be, it's hard. This stuff is incredibly hard for a lot of people. And I know for me it is. And just, it's hard to find the time, make the time, and to get done what needs to be done. We've got to figure out what's important to us and pick our priorities, like I said, and go with it. And little by little, That's the thing. If all of a sudden I just decided, oh, I have to start this exercise program and I got to do it 3 times a day, 7 days a week, you know, that's going to wear me out. It's going to cause me to be tired, you know, trying to get that much of an exercise routine going. I won't be able to get my other stuff done, which is going to put pressure on me there. So it kind of has to be done little pieces to see what works, what doesn't work. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I sort of keep track of everything so that I can see what's working, what's not working, you know, and try something else and be like, okay, well, I'll try this here in this slot, you know, I'll try to do this over here on this Saturday afternoon. It's really tricky to try to cram all this stuff in. It's easy to give up. So I would say, what am I doing right? Well, just stay on it. Just staying on it, not giving up. I think that's the biggest thing. Self-esteem affirmations. I like to look at these because these help you see stuff about yourself that, you know, they help reinforce our good stuff, you know. The next one up from, this is from Havoka. This Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. Havoka.org. They have the next one here. This is self-esteem affirmations. I trust and rely upon my excellent sense of judgment in everything I do. So I could say this to myself daily. I trust and rely upon my excellent sense of judgment in everything I do. That I just, you know, I mean, that's when I look at that, well, that's nice, you know. But no, I don't trust and rely upon my excellent sense of judgment in everything that I do. I'm not a perfect person, so therefore I don't make perfect judgments. And I'm not a perfect person, so I don't have perfect sense of what a perfect judgment is. So I don't trust a lot of times my judgments. But the thing is what I do is try to keep my heart right, you know, in every situation, because I'm not perfect and nobody around me is. So it's kind of like there's a lot of people out there that think they are perfect, but they're not. Sorry. And, you know, I think what it is I try to remember that I want to be treated well, and I don't want people to judge me falsely. And so I need to do the same for them. And so I try to remember that, treat people how I want to be treated. That's, I guess, my trust and rely upon that's my sense of judgment. I wouldn't say it's excellent. You know, I just got to remember that people are people, and people sometimes, you know, we're not catching them on at their best, you know. And so instead of just judging, what I'm trying to do is to put myself, you know, in a better position and say, you know what, I'm going to treat them the way I want to be treated. Which is with respect and decency and dignity, common decency that people deserve to be treated with. As far as my judgment goes, you know, my excellent sense of judgment of just in everything I do, you know, I trust and rely upon it. I think what I do is I just trust my gut instinct, because my gut, I'm a Christian, so I really, you know, I put my trust in God, right? I rely on God for everything. I'm a big-time Christian, not the type that goes to church on Sundays, sings a few songs, and then goes back in the world and goes to the mall and washes my car and thinks about my house and my car and all on my job all the time. My focus is on the Lord really continually. And so that's who I trust. I trust God. And so as far as my own judgments go, I know that they're faulty. But so are everybody else's around me, right? And as far as just trusting my judgment and everything that I do, I definitely don't trust it. But what I do is I just have to kind of go day to day, try to do the best job I can for that day, because that's all we can do. Tomorrow isn't promised. Yesterday's gone. So it's kind of like, what do we have? Well, we have today. You know, so today I could try to do everything that I need to do to the best of my abilities, and I think, and to the best of my sense of judgment, you know, do the best job that I can do today. That's about all we can do. So sometimes these little affirmations are helping to see where you're at. You know, this one is kind of silly, I think. No, nobody's got perfect judgment, right? But we can all work on it, especially on ourselves, you know. There's a lot of people that are willing to that will judge other people, but they won't judge themselves. And that's where the problem is in the world, because you have to judge yourself first before you can judge somebody else. So it's kind of like sense of judgment in people or even in position situations. You know, we have to really look out for the people around us. We got to look out for ourselves first, you know, and make sure that we're not up to something. You know what I mean? Because other people we have to rely upon our sense of judgment as far as our gut instinct goes. So it's very important to look to listen to your gut instinct for sure. Listen to your heart, but. You'll never know, because there are sneaky people out there. And so we might judge something as we might think, oh, well, that person is a good person, or that looks like a good thing, you know, that job situation looks right, you know, this relationship looks good, it's just starting out here. But people are sneaky, and situations are sneaky, you know, and they're not always 100% above board. And so really, even if sometimes our judgments may be off just a bit, just because people aren't really who they say they are, you know, and the position really isn't what they said it is. And so it's not always that our judgment is the issue, but I think that's why these things are kind of funny to look at. But some of them I like looking at, but this one is kind of silly. But anyway, we'll move on. Let's see. What do we want to look at here? We've only got about 5 minutes. Self-care. What are we doing physically, spiritually, emotionally to care for ourselves? Like self-care. You know, physically, I was just talking about that. Spiritually, I mean, I'm doing great spiritually because, like I said, I'm in the Lord, and I'm always in the Bible, and I just love God's word. It's like my food. It's my daily food, my nourishment. But physically, I need to work on it because I'm not concerned with my physical body. So, and I need to be because it's carrying me around. it's got to carry me through the rest of my days. So I need to be looking at it. I need to be taking care of it. That's what I'm working on for self-care mostly. And emotionally, self-care, you know, I've come a long way since I was doing these shows back in like even 2012. I mean, if you go back and listen to some of my 2012, 2014 stuff even, or 2013, you know, a lot of anger and a lot of real kind of not able to cope situation stuff. I've really come a long way, and I think a lot of it had to do with a program that's called Forget Talking Therapy. They changed the name of it, but it's the same people running the program. It's called Your Envisioned Mind, out of Australia. Your Envisioned Mind. And it's put out by Beverly Searle and some other people. That program really helped me out. So it really did. And it's helped me to be able to cope and to be able to maintain. But I have to keep maintaining it, but it does work. It's amazing how it worked. I actually did a show on it here on Blog Talk Radio. You have to go back several years to catch it. But it's on my website, Born in Hell, under the guest tab. I've got my Born in Hell website. There's a guest show tab. And that show is actually under there with Beverly Searle, called Forget Talking Therapy, Beverly Searle. And that's like an hour. I think we did an hour and a half program that day. And she graciously spent that time with me and then did the program with me as well. So that program really helped me out a lot. That's taken me from a place where I wasn't really doing so well to a place where I've been able to really cope and deal and maintain. And it's just amazing. So I always like to mention it because that actually I would say is the biggest part of my healing journey as far as my emotional well-being, psychological well-being, you know, that helped me out a lot. So it just, I don't know, it's bizarre, but it uses pictures instead of words because trauma is stored in the limbic system, pictures in the brain. So that's why the PTSD problem issues and stuff are such a problem. So talking, you know, can help. I found it very helpful to do these shows. But the thing is that that's actually the picture stuff actually helped make all the differences, I think, as far as my healing journey went. So we'll just do a Brainy quote here. This is from Brainy Quote. You can use their quotes as long as you tell where you got them. Let's do a Brainy quote. How about this? Nothing's impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. Audrey Hepburn. Nothing is impossible. The word itself says, quote unquote, I'm possible. Audrey Hepburn. That's awesome. Nothing's impossible. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Take good care of yourselves. Like I say on all my shows, if you're having trouble, you know, you can't cope, you don't know what you're going to do, there's nobody to talk to. I've been there. I know what that's all about. Call a crisis line. Call somebody. There's crisis lines out there with people sitting on there that do care because they're not getting paid enough to make it worthwhile. They're there because they care. They want to help people out. So if you're struggling and you don't know what you're going to do, you call a crisis line. You call somebody. You get a hold of somebody. And you stick it out. And you have a wonderful week. And we'll see you guys Friday. Friday morning, same time, same place. I'll have my music back. I wasn't on for 2 months, so they got rid of my music. So I looked and I'm like, oh, my music's gone. So I'll have to set that all back up. But I'll be here Friday. And I wish you a really wonderful week. Take really good care of yourselves. And we'll talk to you soon.